I want to dig a little bit deeper into that with our next guest here, Gurpreet Gill, Goldman Sachs Asset Management Global Fixed Income Macro Strategist, joins us now. And Ms. Gill, appreciate you taking the time here to chat. I mean, obviously, it's been interesting to see the way that the Fed has signaled a lot of what we heard yesterday. Perhaps that could be why maybe the market reaction wasn't terrible when you kind of compare across the last 24 hours. What did you make of what we heard and how Jay Powell maybe did a good job or bad job in signaling what we heard?
Yeah, what I think is interesting is that the market response has been relatively composed, and you haven't seen any tightening in financial conditions. And we think that is somewhat surprising, given in just a few months, the Fed has gone from announcing taper, and back in September, the dot plot showed only 0.5 rate hikes next year, whereas now it's showing three, and in addition, taper is being accelerated. We think that market response may reflect the fact that the cumulative number of rate hikes over the next couple of years is actually less than expected. So the Fed expects three rate hikes in 2022, three in 2023, but only two thereafter. And so in other words, the Fed isn't forecasting a particularly restrictive policy stance over the forecast horizon. One market where you have seen a bit of underperformance is the agency mortgage-backed securities market, given the Fed will be accelerating the pace at which it's reducing those purchases. And that's actually one of the key reasons we are underweight that sector, and we think that you could see some more spread widening and so underperformance in 2022 as that acceleration of the taper continues.
Adding to your point about signaling versus, you know, what's actually likely to happen, you could argue that Jay Powell really did need to come out yesterday to at least show the market that he is willing to move aggressively if needed. But I want to get back to that point that Brian made, which is, you know, can you continue to hike rates without disrupting the improvement in the labor market? How do you view that dynamic playing out next year?
Yeah, I think what the Fed has demonstrated so far with its policy actions in that it announced taper and didn't generate a taper tantrum, it's now accelerated the taper and upped its signaling of the number of rate hikes next year, and it's not necessarily disrupted financial conditions, is that clear communication can allow it to normalize policy gradually and not result in an abrupt tightening of financial condition and therefore allowing the recovery to continue.
From a global perspective, though, it is interesting to see the ECB move to increase rates already, beating the Fed to the punch. And, you know, a lot of expectations that other central bankers out there will be doing so perhaps a bit faster in 2022 as well. So, I mean, when you look at that, how does that maybe change the dynamic of the U.S. economy versus what we're seeing elsewhere around the globe, and maybe how much more pressure it'll place on the Fed to move faster?
So the Bank of England actually surprised markets today by hiking rates while the ECB kept rates on hold as expected. When it comes to the Fed, we think there's three key things to keep in focus for the outlook from here. We are focused on one, the labor market, two, supply side developments, and three, the virus. On the labor market, the Fed's new forward guidance now actually rests squarely on maximum employment being achieved because inflation conditions have been satisfied. Last August, the Fed's new framework that was unveiled changed the definition of maximum employment. And so rather than simply looking at where is the unemployment rate relative to an estimate of full employment, the Fed is looking at a broad and inclusive range of metrics. It will also be looking at the employment to population ratio, for example, also looking at wage growth. And actually on that front, what's going to be key for investors is what happens with the employment cost index in the fourth quarter. That data is released in January, and it's going to be important to monitor because it actually reached a two-decade high in its last reading. And then when it comes to the second factor, which is developments on the supply side of the economy, that is also key because what we've seen is that demand supply imbalances in certain goods sectors has generated a lot of inflation this year. And then at the same time, shortages in labor have prompted firmer wage growth. And so if either or both of those two supply side issues start to get resolved, you could see inflationary pressures ease somewhat, and that would allow central banks, including the Fed, to pivot back to a more patient and gradual stance on normalization. And then on the third point, with respect to the pandemic, I guess Delta in 2021 demonstrated that we have to have a great deal of humility when looking at the outlook for the virus.
So Gurpreet, what does this ultimately mean for the fixed income markets? I mean, what are some investment opportunities that offer particular value as we see all the major central banks looking at a higher rate environment?
Yeah, it's a great question. Big picture, it's worth noting that in 2022, we're going to be moving to an environment of rate hikes. And at the same time, the quantity of bond buying by global central banks is going to be pulled back. For macro rate markets, such as interest rates and currencies, we think that's actually going to give rise to attractive relative value opportunities. And we see value in markets where we think pricing for central bank policy is overly hawkish or dovish. So for example, we think policy for the Reserve Bank of Australia is misguided, and so we favour Australian rates on a cross-market basis. And then when it comes to fixed income spread sectors, we see value in the high yield portion of the corporate credit market and securitized credit, and selective opportunities in emerging market debt.
Gurpreet Gill, Goldman Sachs Asset Management, Global Fixed Income Macro Strategist. It's always good to get your insight. I appreciate you stopping by.